Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 John 3, 1 to 10. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. But this it is evident, who are the children of God, and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. We wish all the fathers, grandfathers, and spiritual fathers a very happy and blessed Father's Day. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, on this Father's Day, Lord, help us to know what is it that you desire of us as your children, so that we may bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. Early this year in March, I attended to a patient, Madam Yeo, on the second day of her admission at St. Andrew's Community Hospital. Madam Yeo is a Christian, so are her two children. So I inquired of her well-being and I encouraged her. So a few days later, I received a text message by my assistant nursing manager. She informed me that Madam Yeo's daughter requested for pastoral care for her mother. I replied her and said that, oh, I have visited her, I've seen her, and in fact, her son was also present during my visit. My assistant nursing manager replied and said that the patient's daughter complained to the business office that the patient was not seen by the chaplaincy team since admission. So guess, what was my response? Well, if you guess I'm mad, you are right. I was fuming mad. How could she make such a baseless complaint against the chaplaincy team, especially she's also a Christian? I ranted to the nursing staff in anger. I even thought of how I would be sarcastic to her if I see her in the ward. So, you know, I'm not as innocent as you think. Was it right for me to be angry? I could have justified my anger because her complaint was not true. But I realized I could have responded in a more God-pleasing way. I confessed to the Lord and apologized to my nursing staff for reacting the way I did. I believe you experienced similar incidents in your workplace, in school, or even at home that challenge your response and behavior as a Christian. The world is constantly presenting us with numerous temptations and challenges that influences our biblical values, principles, and even our belief in God in the way we live our life. Throughout ages, Christians have faced constant danger of moving towards perpetual distrust and disobedience to God. The believers in the epistle of 1 John face such threats to their faith too. The author in 1 John did not identify himself in the epistle, but there was a common agreement among Bible scholars that the author of the Gospel of John and the epistle of 1 John was the disciple John, the son of Zebedee. The believers were under the seduction of the world, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and the influence of the Antichrist. These Antichrists were among the believers who had gone out from them and who denied Jesus is the Christ. These are the people who were trying to lead the believers astray, to deceive them, verses 18 to 26. There were also false prophets who have gone out into the world, chapter 4, verse 1. Under such circumstances, the author warned the believers of such negative influences. The author also reassured them of their identity, taught them from the Word of God, as well as to affirm that Jesus is the Christ. So let us dive into the passage today. The author asserted the Father's love in the first part of chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The American Standard Version's translated as, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. The love that the Father gave us has warranted us to be called His children. One commentator puts it, apart from love, there would have been no children of God. In other words, if not for the fact that the Father loved us, we would not have a new identity to be called the children of God. You are called the children of God, the child of God, not because of your status, your looks, or the things that you own, but because God loves you. It is therefore crucial for us to recognize and embrace our identity as the beloved child of God, for this is the basis of how we should live our lives. Verses 2 to 3 read, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as he is pure. God's children are to live a purified life in the hope to see Christ and the preparation to be more like Him. So what does a purified life look like? The opponents in 1 John were trying to deceive the believers that a purified and righteous life are non-essential, as they are already justified before God. But this is not so according to the author. For a believer to continue to sin is to violate God's law, verse 4. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. To the Jew, to sin is to violate the law of Moses. And in this case, it is to violate the law of love, God's command to love. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you also are to love one another. Clearly, the opponents have disobeyed God's command to love, for they see it as non-essential for their life. So they could hate one another without any qualms. Yet believers have to remember that Jesus has come to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. Verse 5. Therefore, believers should love one another because love derives from God, and He first loved us. Chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. In fact, those who profess to believe in God and abide in Him do not continue sinning. Verse 6. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Abide here, the word abide here, also refers to indwell. It speaks of permanence of relationships between Jesus and the believer. It is more than just following Him, but being with Him all the time, staying close to Him, making Him as He is our home, as if He is our home. Are you with Jesus and staying close to Him all the time? I came across a testimony from Breakthrough Missions later on for the slides. I came across a testimony from Breakthrough Missions. Breakthrough Missions is an evangelical drug rehabilitation center that helps drug addicts to overcome their addiction and to reintegrate them into the society. So one of the staff shared that he started drug abuse at the age of 15 and got hooked ever since for 30 years. While he was in prison for his drug offenses in 2006, he had a stroke. He was devastated then. During that same time, an African pastor held a gospel conference in the prison. The pastor encouraged him to accept Christ, and he did. And so this is what he said. I came to Breakthrough in 2009, but after 5 years, I was lured away by the glittering world. I wanted to live and enjoy a life that I fancied. However, my health deteriorated very quickly soon after. I realized my foolishness and repented my sin. I returned to Breakthrough like a prodigal son in 2014. Since then, I have been walking in God's way and staying away from bad influences. I apologize sincerely to my loved ones I had hurt. As a Breakthrough staff, I accompany the brothers for their medical appointments and am in charge of the sales of Breakthrough gifts and bonsai plants. Some of you may have heard stories about drug addicts who struggled and relapsed to their old ways of life and were in prison multiple times. As the staff shared, I was lured away by the glittering world. I wanted to live and enjoy a life that I fancied. The power of the world's seduction and influence are so immense that could lure one to keep falling back to the unlawful way of life. The testimony of this former drug addict reminded us that we are powerless to transform ourselves by our own effort. I believe at times you too experience falling back to temptations again, doing things you know is wrong. Some of you may struggle and feel disheartened. Some of you may feel that it is all right if we confess our sins and that God will forgive us. No doubt, God will forgive us when we confess our sin, but that does not give us the license to continue sinning. Andrew Murray, in his book, Abide in Christ, The Joy of Being in God's Presence, shared. And yet you have had to complain of disappointment. As time went on, your expectations were not realized. The blessing you once enjoyed were lost. The love and joy of your first meeting with your Savior, instead of deepening, have become faint and feeble. And often you have wondered what the reason could be that with such a Savior, so mighty and so loving, your experience of salvation should not have been a fuller one. The answer is very simple. You wandered from Him. The blessings He bestows are all connected with His come to me and are only to be enjoyed in close fellowship with Himself. You either did not fully understand or did not rightly remember that the core man come to me to stay with me. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. Just like the staff who returned to breakthrough missions again, he stayed away from the bad influences and started to walk in God's ways. Only through abiding in Christ can we stop sinning. For we are influenced and governed by Christ himself. Yet, anything can hinder us from abiding in Christ. Some potential hindrances are our material possessions, our negative thoughts and emotions, bad company, and the world's values and principles. What hinders you from abiding in Christ? What is it that you need to give up and stay away from? Remember, you are God's beloved child, and God's child does not continue sinning, but abide in Christ. What are the visible expressions of living as God's child? In comparison to the children of the devil who keeps on sinning, verse 8, those who are born of God cannot keep on sinning, verse 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. God's seed here, in the original language, Greek, refers to the principle of spiritual life. The commentator, Albert Bannis, puts it, the germ of piety which has been produced in the heart by the Word and Spirit of God, and which may be regarded as having been implanted there by God himself, and which may be expected to produce holiness in the life. So how does a spiritual life of piety look like? The Amplified Bible translation reads, no one who is born of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin, because God's seed, his principle of life, the essence of his righteous character, remains permanently in him, who is born again, who is reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. And he who is born again cannot habitually live a life characterized by sin, because he is born of God and longs to please him. In other words, the spiritual life of piety would entail and reflect God's character, because Christ lives in his child. This does not mean that Christians become sinless or perfect, but as the translation puts it, he or she cannot habitually live a life of sin. There must be an evidence of piety to God by reflecting his character. Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When we abide in Christ, and Christ in us, it is not impossible, though challenging, to practice righteousness and to love one another. Verse 10. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Who is that one person whom you are struggling to love? What is the right and loving thing that you can do for the person? You are God's beloved child. Practice righteousness and love one another. Lucas Chow, the former CEO of Singapore Media Corp, shared his testimony in Celebration of Hope, featured in the YouTube 5 years ago, Celebration of Hope was a three-day evangelistic rally held in Sports Hub in 2019. So now let us hear his testimony.
Siwang, hope. We all hope for good health, successful careers, great relationships. But sometimes things are not within our control. And when that hope disappears, where do you put your hope? During the last global financial crisis in 2007 and 2008, I was the CEO of Mediacorp. Many economists had considered the 2008 global financial crisis the worst crisis since the Great Depression in the 1930s. I was advised that we had to cut back 10% of our workforce in order for the company to survive. I was very burdened because many of our staff was not young in age anymore. Some of them could have family members affected by retrenchment from other companies, and some of them may be sole breadwinner for their family. It was quite hopeless. But ever since I became a Christian, I learned how to turn my trouble and my worries to God. In my prayer, I ask God for wisdom to guide me so that we can manage this crisis without the need of retrenchment. During one of my quiet time in the morning, a very simple idea came to my mind. What if everyone worked 10% less? We work 9 out of 10 days. We can shut down the campus during the off day to save utility bills and other expenses. Of course, this is easier said than done. Radio, television, newspaper services cannot be interrupted and they must go on. I'm practically asking everyone to complete the work with 10% less of time. I can't wait to share this idea with my colleagues. I call an employee's town hall in the TV theater. The TV theater was packed, but it was unusually quiet. Nobody was in the mood to talk. I went ahead with my presentation and shared how it would affect our work schedule. After I finished my presentation, the TV theater was so quiet that you can hear a pin drop. All of a sudden, and almost spontaneously, people get on their feet and I was given a standing ovation. I was very touched and I was very grateful that God had led me to make such a decision. Mediacorp Day Off helped the company to survive through the crisis without the need to retrench. Not only that, we restore the work schedule and the salary right after the economy returned. And towards the end of the year, everybody received a small year-end bonus and 50% compensation for the day off that they didn't work. Later, people asked, why did I rack my brains to come up with alternative solutions to avoid retrenchment, as retrenchment was an acceptable practice at that point in time? My answer to them was simple. I trust that God put me in the position of the CEO of the company for such a time like this. Siwang, hope. Everyone hope for good things, but where does your hope come from? I put my hope in God because I trust that He is almighty and He never fades away. He loved me the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Now, Lucas Chow
understand more.
Could have taken the easy way out, like the other companies, to retrench the staff, but he did not. And under such circumstances, which he chose not to go with the majority, I believe he must have been under tremendous stress and pressure. Yet, he still chose to do what is right and loving as a Christian for his staff. Let us be inspired to do what is right and loving for one another. Just last week, one of my colleagues happened to know that my mother is a member of the church choir. My mother is from another church, my former church. Can you blank the slides first? Thank you. So my colleague asked me, "Your mom can sing, and what happened to you?" He expected me to take after my mother and be able to sing too, but too bad I can't sing. So I replied and said, "I take after my late father. In fact, my personality resembles more of my late father." We all resemble our parents in some ways. It could be our looks, our personality, or our character. Humanly, of course, there are ways we don't fully resemble them. Similarly, as a child of God, we should resemble our Heavenly Father. In what area in your life do you resemble your Heavenly Father? Will others recognize you as a Christian because of your righteous deeds and your love for others? Remember, you are God's beloved child. Do not continue sinning, but practice righteousness and love one another. A Scottish theologian, Sinclair Ferguson, once said, "The notion that we are children of God, His own sons and daughters, lies at the heart of all Christian theology and is the mainspring of all Christian living." Today is Father's Day, a special word for our fathers, grandfathers, and spiritual fathers here in our midst and those online. Live your life as a child of God, practicing righteousness and loving others, showing a godly example to your children, your grandchildren, and those whom you mentor, the way to live. So let us all present ourselves to our Heavenly Father, a life of righteousness and love for one another. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in this Father's Day, we remember your love for us, that we are called children of God. For this, we thank you. Help us, Lord, not to continue to live a life of sin, but to live our life as your children, to practice righteousness and to love one another. Amen.